Welcome to the Unscripted Health Podcast with Dr. Robert Messer, the podcast created to break through the current life script of false beliefs, lies, and misconceptions about what optimal health is and how to achieve it. Using the long-hidden secrets of functional medicine, genetics, alternative health, nutrition, enzymology, organic process, food science, soil science, energy science, and the natural role of movement, Dr. Messer aims to educate and inspire people to live off-script so that we may eventually live in a world where disease is rare and living a happy, fulfilled, and energetic lifestyle is the norm.
Hi, it's Dr. Robert Messer. Welcome to Episode 3, High Function Health. In this podcast, I want to help people understand and discover what is a high-functioning body. How do we acquire it? And so we're going to talk about 10 steps that can help you achieve that. And why are these important? Well, we find that actually most people struggle trying to find what is optimal health. What is a high-functioning body? What is high-functioning health? So we want to give some steps that will lead you down that path that can help you discover what that is to have actually a high-functioning body. What is it to have a high-functioning body? And most of all, how do you achieve it? Let's start the conversation off with basically homeostasis, homeodynamics. A highly adaptive, synergistic form of homeostasis among our body, mind, and environment thoughts is this thing called homeodynamics. Because the body never actually is static. I mean, all of our systems, chemistry, physiology, biology, is always an ebb and flow. It's always changing. It's like a symphony that's moving through a piece of music, but it's doing it congruently together. And so allostasis is a systemic whole body organization of the balance through change. That is homeodynamics. So a whole body systemic interconnectedness is basically what we're the foundation of what we're searching for to help start the process of creating a high-functioning body. Let's start by discussing what is it or what will it take to better understand the foundations of a high-functioning body. We're going to give you 10. To fully grasp the concepts and be able to administer this information in your own life, you must first have the right mindset. Having the correct mindset will help guide you through the journey to living a high-functioning lifestyle. Your lifestyle is your health is your lifestyle. To have a high-functioning body, we need a high-functioning lifestyle. Here's a list of some necessary parts to be a healthy and beneficial mindset. Number one is willingness. The openness to discover something new and better. Willingness is the first step to awareness, and awareness is the first step to positive change. Lack of willingness towards positive change elicits a stress response. Without willingness, we can't find understanding, tolerance, acceptance, or congruency. People who are high functioning are perpetually hungry for learning and improving previously established patterns, habits, and beliefs. Willingness is all about the conscious intention to freely and purposely be aware, perceive, and engage all opportunities to learn, grow, and connect with others. High function health continues to build and improve relationships and health, including behavior, mental, spiritual, social. In short, willingness to be aware of broader information and allow progressive adaptation to change your beliefs, patterns, habits, and bias. What's number two? Perception. Perception is our awareness of environment through all of our different senses, chemical, hormonal, molecular, vibrations, sensations. Perception determines how your stress responses are triggered, including the intensity and duration. Is your body perceiving things we are not consciously aware of? A great example is POPs, persistent organic pollutants. They change our perception, and yet many times we're not even aware they're there. Another example is the information in food. Are we getting more information from food than we think we are? The environment it was grown, was it harsh, inadequate, or polluted? Chemicals in food, enzymes, what about the nutrient balance in food? We grow people out of balance. We grow food out of balance and think it looks fine. Are we aware of the information in makeup? Do we perceive that? Our body does, but consciously, many times we aren't aware that there's information even in makeup you put on your face, lotions we put on our body, drugs we stick in our body. The body is fully aware of what you expose it to, even if we are consciously naive. Another great example is drugs. Most clinical trials are performed offshore in foreign countries. Why? Well, it's cheap, and most impoverished countries are full of people who have been drug-free most of their life, so the results are better than if given to Americans who have been exposed to many drugs throughout their life. Medical research questions this because people in other countries have different diseases and stressors and metabolize things differently. So even though our body is perceiving all this information, many times we're not aware of it. Drug companies are aware of it. They like it to do things in other countries because it's cheaper, it's easier to recruit people, regulations are less stringent or don't exist, and patients are drug naive. What is rescue countries? Well, there's rescue countries when it talk about the drug issue and the data is if in the U.S., if a drug shows that it really doesn't have a benefit for people, companies can use data from foreign countries in its stead to secure an FDA approval, as the case of Celebrex and Kotek antibiotic that has caused severe damage and death to Americans. Our body was perceiving that it was there. We consciously weren't aware of it, and it cost lives. Did you know that iatrogenic healthcare-induced deaths are the leading cause of death in America? Did you realize that our body perceives these challenges with these different drugs, substances, sometimes the POPs, persistent organic pollutants, which means vegetables or fruits that have been sprayed with chemicals? Our body is aware, but sometimes consciously, we are not aware. We need to get to the point where we perceive this. A high-functioning body rarely needs medication in its lifetime, for one. Increasing perception will make us aware of the need to adapt to get our body to a higher level of function where we wouldn't require or need some of these substances, chemicals, or pollutants. The third one on our list today is the stress response. If we're going to accomplish any level of high functionality, we need to understand and create balance within our stress response, the patterns and protocols that we create. Remember, the body is smarter than we are, and it knows the truth. The RAS system of the central nervous system, RAS, is the abbreviation for reticular activating system. It's located on the upper brain stem and fusing into the lower cortex of the brain. I know, bear with me, this information, we won't get too technical with this, but this is really important because this system is large and diffuse, and it acts as a switch, a gateway to the cortex. This section is really important for a high-functioning body, to have high-functioning health. The RAS acts as a switching station for two primary pathways, the proactive learning, creativity, and logic path, which is the cortical system, or the defensive fight or flight and survival mode, which is the reactionary limbic system. This affects the endocrine system. In short, translates to any extracellular outside signals to the intracellular function through the neuroimmune endocrine system, which then stimulates sympathetic or parasympathetic systems, the gas or the brakes, releasing mediators locally that act globally throughout the body, such as various hormones, steroids, neurotransmitters, and kinases. Whoa, I know, but we've all heard of people with hormone imbalances. We've all heard of people taking steroids for different health problems or needing to adjust their neurotransmitters for depression or anxiety. And here we are into this system. Simplified, one is to learn, grow, and create, and the other is defend, protect, and survive. Clarity and perception of an environment determines what is triggered, which is why we proceeded with perception and awareness. Obviously, this is where there is such a diversity in response to specific stressors, depending on a person's perception and clarity around a perceived stressful event. It can have a positive or negative consequence depending on what part of the brain is activated. If we don't modify and mediate our responses to non-life-threatening stressors, our outcomes will just be the same. We'll have increasing illnesses, the low overall function as a society, preventing us from experiencing a true high-functioning body. It all starts in the brain. The true master gland, the midbrain and limbic systems release hormones and inhibitory hormones from the hypothalamus to pituitary, another master gland, and down the line. The stress response, the gas and the brakes, the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems. The sympathetic system is responsible for the four Fs, flight, fright, fight, and fornicating, sex. It's the gas pedal. It responds to alarms and excitement. It handles arousal, awareness, activation, and focus. Adrenal glands secrete epinephrine. The EpiPen that we have when there's an allergy gives us that huge immune surge. That's adrenal glands. So epinephrine, that's the sympathetic, the gas system. Muscles, striated and smooth. Smooth muscles, most of us forget, are our circulation. Our blood vessels are muscles. Organs, cells, even the little hairs and goosebumps we get on our arms or legs. The parasympathetic system, that's the brakes. It's things that handles calmness, growth, digestion. Yes, digestion, because actually digestion takes so much energy that the parasympathetic calms most other systems in the body down so we can use that energy for digestion, storage, repair, recovery. So energy, sleep, recovery, and diverts circulation, by the way, away from your extremities, centers it in for digestion. Norepinephrine is a hormone made from dopamine, and it's released in the adrenal medulla, released for noradrenergic neurons. It is also a neurotransmitter released in the central nervous system. Body sends messages via the nervous system, chemistry, and genetics. A few of the hormones involved in this stress response include epinephrine, norepinephrine, ACTH, glucagon. We've heard of that. That has to do with muscles. That has to do with blood sugar. It has to do with how our body handles energy. The androgens, testosterone, are hormones. Estrogens, glucocorticoids. What are those? Glucocorticoids are things like steroids. Many, some people have had things like prednisone, a steroid. What about growth hormone? Exactly. Growth hormone is huge for us to maintain vitality, anti-aging, youthfulness, and of course when we're young, helps us grow to our full stature and full potential. Mineral corticoids, progestins, and oxytocin. If suppressed, it can affect imprinting on children, maternal behavior, and the inability to form a monogamous relationship in women. Oxytocin. Yes, that whole thing of imprinting and making bonding with your BFF, your best friend, and also finding and bonding with a partner, a monogamous partner, makes it very difficult if this is out of balance. And we see this all the time in actually our hormone imbalances today, people trying to accomplish something by taking certain hormones, not realizing that maybe the testosterone or the progesterone by itself is not enough to create this balance. That work is outstanding and done by Dr. Shelley Taylor of UCLA. And just look her up. It's fascinating on how these balances in our body stop us from having that high-functioning, optimal body and actually interfere with everything from how we recover, how we grow, our relationships, how our body responds immune system-wise, and down the line. Some glands are stimulated by stressors, and some are inhibited by stressors. So stress inhibits human growth hormone, HGH, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, insulin, and pancreatic hormone. Grasp that just for a second, because we know we're in a world right now of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and a lot of people said, I've been benefited so much by that. But did we get that? Some glands are stimulated by stressors. Stress inhibits these hormones from maintaining a normal balance, and we have droves of people that are going in to try to elevate and improve their hormonal makeup, their hormonal balance again. And stress has been one of the primary factors that has caused epidemic low hormones, blood sugar problems, digestive problems. This is one of the causes. Some hormones help us generate the stress response. Some help us prepare for the next stressor, and some help us recover. It's really important to see that when the stress response is kicked into high gear, energy is mobilized in the body and sent to muscles to fight or flee. Cognition and awareness is heightened for the threat. It's heightened for the threat, not for the opportunity to learn or elevate our understanding of something. It's looking for the threat. Pain is blunted. You ever have people go, oh, I have a high pain tolerance. I hardly feel anything. Actually, if they're under constant 24/7 stress, the body blunts their pain, and their perception sometimes is, I have a high pain tolerance. I don't feel it as much, not realizing they're actually slightly numb. Most importantly, building and repair processes and projects are deferred until the threats have passed. Most importantly, our building and repair processes in the body and projects of how we change our body are deferred until the threats have passed. My question is, what if the threats never pass? So what if our perception of the present is not good enough or not aware enough or heightened enough that we perceive what's actually going on? Then basically, we're in just this high stress 24/7. The body never has a chance to get out. There's no downtime. There's no opportunity to shift gears and have more balance and growth and actually peace of mind. The balance and timing of these hormones has important implications into the onset of autoimmune disease, depression, bipolar, and brain disease. And we've all heard that. Dementia, Alzheimer's, autoimmune diseases. I mean, it's just almost seems like it's epidemic. And a lot of this is started or has been created by stress responses out of balance on 24/7. If the stress response is inappropriately elicited at an unsustainable level, it can actually create more damage than the stressor itself, especially when the stressor is mostly psychologically versus physically initiated. So we think of this like sometimes people are just like freaking out over something, and then when the event actually comes, they go, oh, that wasn't so bad. But my point is the damage was already done because they were perceiving as life or death and it's over. And then when they actually get to the event, they're like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought. But it's actually created the damage. We spend so much energy on defense for non-life-threatening stressors, we fail to put energy into learning, education, and recovery, the very things that would help us avoid threats, increase free energy, avoid disease, and create this high-functioning, healthy environment for this high-functioning, healthy body. So the stress response is playing a primary pivotal point in whether or not you're going to be able to accomplish that high-functioning, healthy body. Healthcare, as it stands, spends enormous amounts of time trying to diagnose depression, anxiety, psychosis, etc., all for the purpose of labeling it for some therapeutic prescription or counseling regime. Though these are appropriate at times, I have found in 30 years of functional medicine practice, most of the patients I have seen have varying degrees of imbalances in stress responses internally and with their chosen environment. Build, rebuild, or repair the foundation of functional wellness first. This is a key. A high-functioning body is build the foundation, rebuild, or repair the foundation of functional wellness first. That's the key to creating a high-functioning body and health. The best positive learning, clarity, awareness, and adaptation will come from a close balance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic, the gas and brakes, systems of the nervous system, and that has to do with how we perceive the stressors in our life. Future episodes will cover this more specifically. Just know that an accurate, open-minded perception is the foundation to achieving a high-functioning body. Let's go to number 4, intention. Intention is all about what we send out of us, what we transmit, how all living things within our environment perceive it. We can send intentions out that can potentially elicit a stress response in others, which then triggers a stress response in us, depending on how our perception is. This can be accomplished almost instantaneously through epigenetics and physiology. Dr. L. McTaggart, The Intention Experiment, she wrote this book, goes into detail. It's a good read. Dr. Fritz Popp basically said, it's simple. The messages the brain sends out from epigenetics, that alone can cause a stress response. Information coming in from our thoughts are going out from our thoughts and in our body from our memories in the past. All these can create stress responses and create stress responses in others based on how they perceive them. If you sat down and told your friend a story that's happened to you, what you say, what you do, how the story is laid out can elicit stress responses in the person who's listening to your story and vice versa. It goes both ways. So let's go to number 5, curiosity. Curiosity is an awareness, presence, and intention cycle that helps us discover the truth behind the most challenging and mysterious questions. Knowledge plus intelligence creates understanding, which stimulates growth, fabricates confidence, and energizes more curiosity. The understanding elicits proper stress responses. Understanding, the better we understand, then our stress responses that we elicit are more appropriate for the situation. So curiosity is huge. Let's look at the next one down the list. Number 6 is environment. What is included in our environment? Environment is an aggregate of all the surrounding things, cultural and social conditions, ecology, influencers, on the mental, physical, genetic, chemical, and electromagnetic systems of a person or population. And by the way, obviously, this varies depending on where you live, what country you're in, what the social habits, cultural patterns, traditions are, can elicit different stress responses, can elicit different things within the body, our perception, awareness, intention, everything. What is a personal environment? I kind of call it the home base. Kind of our personal environment is a home base. It is the aggregate intersection of our internal systems, everything going on inside, the genetics, the physiology, the epigenetics, the energy, our psychology, habits, patterns, emotions, perceptions, expressions, and beliefs. That's the personal environment. That's what's going on inside us. Internal environment is huge because that's also where, when we perceive something, that's what triggers our stress responses or how it triggers them. The environment contains a vast array of signals, triggers, intentions, and messages that can elicit stress responses. Internal, external makes a big difference. So your personal environment determines what triggers your stress responses. A high-functioning body should contain very few stressors outside of true physical crisis or life-threatening situations, which, by the way, would be of short duration and very limited incidences. It's kind of like Zebras Don't Have Ulcers, that book. If you've never seen it, it's worth a read. Zebras don't get ulcers because of how they elicit their stress responses. You know, they always like, it's either do or die. So they're running for their life from the lion or the tiger. And if they can get out of that situation, then literally quickly, within minutes, the stress response is gone, is back to normal. So they don't maintain these emotional stressors that go on 24/7 like a lot of humans do. Theirs are truly centered around crisis, live or die. That's what they do. A high-functioning body builds a similar environment of low negative stress, high energy, cleanliness, and nurturing input for the body and the mind. Unnecessary stressors are minimized or eliminated. Number 7 is congruency. We need to be congruent. A high-functioning body is congruent, internally and externally. Perception. Having the correct perception, one that is congruent with your desired outcomes, is one of the golden pillars to actually achieving congruency. To know how to intentionally respond congruently, we need to perceive the information in our environments in the most relevant and beneficial way possible. If the raw information we are exposed to is fragmented, altered, or otherwise highly filtered, we do not perceive the truth about situations, which means our intentions are also skewed, which also means we experience unnecessary stress responses. The 8th is mindset, a simple concept discovered by Dr. Carol Dweck from Stanford. A mindset is the collection of beliefs, thoughts, assumptions, prejudice, and bias, which is, when mixed, creates a way of thinking. It establishes thinking patterns and habits. A great example is a high-functioning mindset allows someone to experience relationships as a process and journey with someone they connect with, feel, bond with, and or love. They know that challenges are normal and the perfect imperfections will evolve along the journey. They have a strong will and patience. They're vested in the process. They do not perceive every little moment as a stumbling block. This mindset leads to fewer stressors, less fight, less flight, and fewer defensive postures. Fewer stress hormone secretions, healthier physiological responses, fewer extremes, and a calmer physiology overall. High-functioning mindsets express trust, loyalty, understanding, and congruency. Healthy, high-functioning relationships will contain greater behavioral flexibility, which allows the growth of deeper connections. Another side is a low-functioning mindset, which perceives relationships as only being successful if they are flawlessly compatible, for they don't see them as a journey or progressive process. It's the end goal. It's the touchdown. It's the catch. Anything that disrupts the balance is a problem and triggers a stress hormone response. Anything that doesn't go as planned is considered failure rather than a learning opportunity. This also initiates a stress hormone response. They perceive relationships as fixed and inflexible with no growth, and therefore they experience more breakups, which further increases the number of stress responses constantly triggered. These rigid relationships are destined for fragmentation and failure due to constant, inappropriate stress responses. Number 9 is presence, which is the space where the unconscious, subconscious, and conscious minds meet in the present moment. The conscious mind is all about the future projections, planning and reasoning, complex thinking, which is represented by about 10% of the brain. The conscious mind is what drives us into the future through its complex thinking and reasoning. It tells the epigenetics what to search for in the environment and what's coming next. The conscious mind is not made to be in the present moment. It observes the present moment. The subconscious mind is all about the past, holding memories, associations, pattern recognition, and references. The subconscious mind is the pattern and habit maker. It supports what we create through behavior, actions, and thoughts. Note on mindfulness is that mindfulness is defined as being present in the moment. This is really a misconception because being present and being mindful are categorically two different things. One can be present and mindful in the moment, or one can be present and not mindful. Mindfulness is focusing in on a snippet of information, something in the moment, while still being entrenched in your mind. And number 10 in our list of things necessary to help create a high-functioning body, a higher-functioning health, is nurturing. And we're going to talk about just a few things key to nurturing, which obviously is sleep, recover, and repair. That's one. We need all three of these aspects. We need restful sleep without distractions or noise. We need 6 to 8.5 hours of sleep, depending on the individual. That's actual hours of sleep. We also need body work, chiropractic, massage, hydrotherapy, etc. I always like it. Some people go, well, you know, I'm not used to that, or I don't do that. We're talking about a high-functioning body, high-functioning health. They consider anything and everything that's going to create high function within them. We need to get rid of the bias. Look at this and say, hey, if it's good for me, do it. I've had people say they don't want to be touched. They don't want to get in the water. They don't want to have whatever. I'm like, we're talking about people who desire a high functioning body, high functioning health. That means nurturing the body with whatever it needs and necessary to create those opportunities. Also consider movement. The body was meant to move, not sit. Sitting is probably the bane of America. We need to move. We have legs, we have arms, we have things that help us engage our environment. We need to move. Move as many parts of your body as possible every day. We need to move. It generates energy within us. It generates positive moods. It actually helps us engage people. It's just so huge, and that's what we were meant for. So please move. Activity, exercise, anything we can, move. Another one is quality food. Our food contains information, as we talked about and mentioned before, that our body reacts to. It's true, you are what you eat to a higher degree than you realize. So give your body something, nurture your body with quality food. High plant food diet, moderate fruits in the diet, moderate proteins in the diet. Quality polyunsaturated fats, oils, nuts and seeds, little to no processed foods. And I always have this discussion with people. They say, well, I know I'm eating this, but it's organic. If it's in a box and it's organic or not, it's still processed foods. We need to eliminate as many processed foods as possible because processed foods are not living foods. They're dead foods. And we want to give the body as much living nourishment as possible. Limit the fermented foods. People say, like, is sauerkraut good for you? Yes, it can be. What about kefir? What about yogurt? Sure. But not by the bucket load. I mean, this includes alcohol. The negative effects of ethanol, for an example, far outweigh the positive benefits of the alcohol, like polyphenols. There's more polyphenols in a serving of walnuts or colored veggies and fruits than there is in any bottle of wine. They've measured it. So the interesting thing here is, like, moderately use fermented foods, which is great in proper balance. Limited sugar. I just tell you, it's simple. If it's not alive and living food that contains the sugar, it's processed. So anything we can do to eliminate processed sugar is huge. Sugar is just fuel. That's all it is. It's not the building blocks of the body. It's just gas. You know, I always tell people, if you're in your car, you don't want to fill up your backseat with gas. Too much fuel in our body, in the car, is just not good. It actually bogs everything down. So limit the sugar. It's just fuel. That's all it is. The building blocks, the proteins, the fatty acids. By the way, the fatty acids is what helps us make our hormones. Really, what does sugars help us do? Just fuel. That's all it is. And if we give the body too much fuel, it actually causes inflammation. And we know, just like in Alzheimer's today, the research says that Alzheimer's is considered and called diabetes type 3. So within reason, limit the sugar. Limit the fuel to what the body needs. Not overeating is another one. Not only quality food, but not overeating it. Overeating triggers stress responses in the body, which causes hormone imbalances. And the irony here, not only does it cause hormone imbalances, overeating triggers stress responses, which we mentioned about previously, what can happen there, because some stress responses will actually suppress the digestion And that's what can happen with overeating. We can suppress and the digestion itself, changing hormone balance in the long run, furthering weight gain, furthering digestive problems, colon problems, gut problems, losing energy, all this by overly stimulating certain parts of the stress responses. Another example is around the social aspect, dating and meeting people, and actually how counterproductive that can be when it's centered around food and alcohol, because it suppresses the nervous system in a way, because people are nervous or have anxiety, but it suppresses it in a way which actually the quality of that relationship is altered because of overeating or overdrinking. Another one we want to consider is supplementation. Supplementing nutrition. It's been determined that most diseases and disorders start as epigenetic and physiological deficiencies. They become the diseases you wish you never had that kill you and your family because we are deficient. So high-functioning body and high-functioning health supplements weaknesses, deficiencies to bring about optimal function. People complain about taking vitamins, but they don't hesitate to take unbelievable amounts of drugs with crazy side effects. They're following the old script. The crisis script. High-functioning people in busy lives intentionally consume higher amounts of nutrients that they can't get through their diet alone to deal with the levels of stress in their lifestyle. Zinc, selenium, magnesium, A, D, and C, a few of the examples that are consistently deficient in most people. High-functioning body, high-functioning health, they have the mindset that seeks optimal function, not survival. They feed the body for optimal performance and function. High functioning health and high functioning body, as we've talked about these 10 things that help bring this about, these areas are done consistently and congruently to bring about the best possible congruent function within the body. Let's recap. High functioning body, healthy people, they live off script. They adjust whatever is necessary to fit their body and their environmental needs. They adapt to a functional mindset versus a symptom mindset. They are patient and they commit to the journey of creating a high-functioning body versus an emotionally reactive, symptom-based life. They collaborate in their care, but they don't waste their valuable time trying to be their own naive physician. I encourage this all the time. I want people to be educated and knowledgeable. That's why they come to me. My job is to help lead them, guide them into finding the information they need to obtain a high-functioning body. I've done this for over 30 years. Someone who's been searching on the internet for a couple hours is not going to be able to find what they need, and their time is valuable also. So they collaborate together with others to find the information and the things necessary to create that high-functioning health. They seek balance in stressors, rest, diet, exercise, social interactions, and spirituality. They are progressive learners. We were designed to be progressive learners. It's part of our makeup. From the time we were kids, little people, we were designed to be progressive learners. It's our nature. It's innate. It's part of who we are. To not be progressive learners is not being a high-functioning person. It's not high-functioning body or health. That is part of it. It's just a byproduct of us being in balance. High-functioning people also, they welcome ongoing positive change. It is also part of who we are. This moment right now will never be the same again. What you do today, if you try to do the same activity tomorrow, ironically, the body learns and you really can't produce the same outcomes exactly as you did the day before because the body's a learner. So it'll do something a little different, a little better, a little enhanced. Every moment is different. We were built for change. High-functioning bodies seek positive connections. They invest, nurture, and maintain a high-functioning environment to congruently and consistently achieve their dreams and their desired outcomes. They invest in positive living things, food, pets, people, and relationships. These 10 steps that we've offered, 10 things to look at, we realize it's not everything. It doesn't cover all the bases. It's the foundation, some of the most important things that are necessary to head yourself in the direction and create a high-functioning body and a high-functioning health in all areas. Take the time, take the steps, and start here and make those changes in each of the 10. Create and start the process. Start the journey of high-functioning health.
Thank you for listening to episode 3 of the Unscripted Health Podcast with Dr. Robert Messer. We hope you enjoyed this episode and find it useful in your journey to achieving success in your health. Feel free to reach out with any questions or suggestions to unscriptedhealthpodcast@gmail.com or on social media. You can find Dr. Messer on Twitter and Facebook. See you next time.